Your Bibles to John chapter 2. John 2. Although we're going to use this text, I do want to continue on somewhat with the matter of zeal. I want to ask you again tonight, if you're like Jesus, then you'll be a loving person. You'll have the love of Christ. If you're like Jesus, you'll seek to have holiness in your life, for he was the Holy of Holies in reality. And also, he's faith itself, so you'd have faith, great faith, for he is great faith. He's everything. And also, the Bible says that the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up, or thine house hath eaten me up. And so I want to know, are you eat up with the zeal that Christ had? Or are you just kind of just lollydoll around through life? How do people think about you when you get a job to do? Do you have zeal about it? It says, what thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Do it with thy might. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now how could you do something in a slovenly way and do it for the glory of God? You should do it with great activity. You remember that they found different ones and they were given over to activity. They were active men. They were industrious and so forth. And so it goes as much with the children of Israel, the three Hebrew children, that they were 10 times better than the others. And so we ought to be vigilant, on watch, and we ought to be industrious, and we ought to be about the Master's business. And so it was in this incident here with Mary, the mother of our Lord, and she says unto them in this portion of Scripture, she says, whatever he saith unto you, do it. So I'd like to consider that. And then we ought to do what we do with zeal. And I will cover some other areas here as well. So stand again with me. That'll be good for you. Chapter 2 of John's Gospel. This is the very first miracle that Jesus did. And if you don't know what that alcohol was there, I should say if you don't know what that wine was there, then you need to get Brother Shea's tape, and it may help you. His Sunday school lesson, I'm sure, be a big help. And then Brother Hallman has a little book that he, I don't know if he gave that to Brother Shea or not, did he? And that had really good things in it. I read it many years ago and then misplaced it or gave it away to someone and have not been able to get some others, and we maybe ought to order some of those so that you could be able to decipher what in the Bible is alcoholic and what is not, what is fresh juice and what is the fermented, and which one you're to stay away from, and which one, how to identify one or the other. And so we believe that this here at the first wedding, the marriage, that it was not non-alcoholic, it was fresh. And that which was probably there, according to Brother Shea there, is the fact that that could have been watered down greatly and been a syrup. By the way, I found that out many years ago when I was in the 60s in college, and I looked in a huge big Webster's dictionary and I looked up wine, and you wouldn't believe it had pages about wine. And by the way, Webster was a Christian, had all kinds of scripture verses and everything, but it went into the fact that it was syrup. And because wine is the generic word, you might say. And you have to find the context to find out if it's alcoholic or it's the fresh fruit of the vine, the juice. By the way, we have something about that when, you know, one of those men that was the cupbearer, and they took the grapes right in their hands, their clean hands, and they crushed the grapes right into the wine glasses and so forth at certain times. And so you have to decipher that. Follow with me, please, as we read in chapter 2 of John's Gospel. And the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? It's interesting that Jesus, in the scriptures at least, we have no record of Jesus calling her mother. He calls her woman over and over again, and even at the cross. Although she was the mother of our Lord. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. And this, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Now, could we read verse 5? Alone, please. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Our Father, as we consider this, we pray that we would learn to do what we do for thee, Lord Jesus, with a real zeal, real drive, and real excitement, that we can even be called upon to do something for the King of Kings, for Lord of Lords, even the Creator of our soul and our body and our spirit. And dear Lord, the one who made us, the Lord Jesus, we're going back to him one day. The Bible says all judgment is committed into the hands of the Son. He came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life and to the slaughter at Calvary and to be spit upon, but he'll not be spit upon in that day. He's coming back in vengeance, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Flaming fire, he's coming back. His eyes as a flame of fire. Bless, we pray. Dear Lord, help us to be busy so that when we come to that judgment, oh God, that we will so be wrapped up and have done all we could do for thee, Lord Jesus. And we'd had zeal and we would obey thee, Lord, to the utmost. So that, dear Lord, we'll hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So help us to do things in a way that can be said are well done. And may we be faithful in our service until you come for us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. And we'll thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it immediately. Mary, the mother of the Lord, said, whatever he saith unto you, do it. And he said, fill the water pots with water. And immediately they did what he said. As soon as the Lord convinces you and tells you through his Holy Spirit's leading, guides you through his word about something you should do, don't be too hasty. Make sure you know it's the will of God. But as soon as you know, then you ought to do it. If he tells you to give out a gospel tract, give it out right away. Why wait? Why take time to worry about it? If you're already, you know it's the Lord's leading, do it. And do it gladly and do it immediately. And then do it completely. He said, fill the water pots. And they filled them right up to the brim. And we need to do things completely that the Lord has for us to do. May God help us to not just do a haphazard, halfway job. Do what you do and do it all. And do it right. If you don't know how to do it right, find someone who does know how to do it right. And just get the thing done for the glory of God. By the way, also, they didn't question it either. They were unquestionable. They didn't question Jesus. They just filled the water pots to the top and they were changed into wine. And he said, bear it to the governor. They did it and they took it right to the governor. That's the way we ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Gladly and unquestionably and with all our might. Just be completely engulfed in just plain simple obedience to the Lord. What a privilege that He'd call upon us to do anything for Him. We ought to count it a great privilege. If God's touching your life to be a full-time Christian worker, a preacher, missionary, evangelist, teacher, you young men, you ought to thank God that God's speaking to you. He didn't have to save you. Amen. He didn't have to allow you to be born into the world. And He didn't have to give you a call. You know, some people, it seems like they just are so glib about the call of God. That's a great, marvelous calling. Just even the desire to be in the ministry is a great, high, and holy calling. And it's a thought that's worthy of our consideration. I'm telling you, the problem with most of the time, a lot of people will miss the call of God is they're just not listening. They're not spiritually minded. How can they mind the Spirit when they're not spiritually minded? They just don't think about spiritual things. That's all you ought to think about. We are spiritual creatures going to a spiritual heaven one day. We need to make preparations. We need to be heavenly minded so we'll be some earthly good. Amen. We need to be what? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Not just the things of this world, but the things of the next world. That's God's Word. That's prayer. I was delighted to read Shields of Canada on the plane today. And it was very good for me to read that. He only had, in his church of 1,000, I guess, he only had 350 of them. Almost 50% of them didn't want them. They liked them for about 12 years, and then they didn't like them after that. They wanted to get rid of them. And he didn't think it was the Lord's will for him to leave. So they tried to change it to that he had to have 2/3 vote instead of just a majority. He didn't like that. They wanted to change their bylaws and constitution. Well, people were being saved all the time. What's the big problem? He had the right doctrine. What's the big problem? They just want to go down to the next church. Listen to someone else for the rest of their life. That's not too smart sometimes. He only had 350 of them. And he wrote them all a letter and said, we love you and we're praying for you. We're sorry that the Lord seemingly has led you away from us. And I'm going to pray God's blessings on you. Even though you did want to get rid of me. Wasn't that good? I don't think he said that in there, but, you know. But he didn't feel like it was God's will to go. You know what happened right after that? They were having people saved all the time, baptisms regularly. But, oh my, did the glory fill the place. And it was over biblical separation. They wanted to go to their movies. They wanted to have their dances. They wanted to go to the theater. They wanted to play their cards. But the big issue was he came out of the convention, the Canada up there in Toronto. He was at the Jarvis Street Baptist Church, this big, huge church. And they wrote an article in their main magazine, and the issue was over the Bible. And he said, I will not let this stand like this. Seems like the issue's always over the Bible. And or what's in the Bible, biblical separation. What is that? That's obedience to the Bible. And so he stood, and boy, then they were praying. They were praying and praying that they'd have a great forward movement. A great revival. And you know what happened after that 350 left? The revival came! And it stayed and stayed and stayed! They went up to 1,800! He said, oh, it was like the water gates. It's not how he put it, but we just went through the locks up there in Lockport, New York. The canal yesterday, that was just yesterday, wasn't it? Boy, it's nice to fly around, isn't it? That was just yesterday. And here these big, big walls open up and allow the boat that we were on to go up. Those big things of water there in the Erie Canal. And I'll tell you what, it was like those doors opened up for the Jarvis Street Baptist Church. And they started their own Bible college. He'd already started another one, but it went bad. And they all do eventually. Especially if you get too high intellectually. So they started their own. They started out with 18 students in a huge church. 18 students, and then there were 28, 18 full-time and 28 part-time students. But then it grew, I'm sure, and God blessed it. They were more concerned with purity than they were numbers. Their church burned right to the ground, almost. And they didn't miss a service. They just rented a big meeting house. Big, huge skating rink, I think, or something. They just rented that. Other people offered their church buildings. They said, no, we like this one real well. Then they rebuilt the same building, but it was nicer in the inside and so forth. I think that dear pastor went through some trying times. His wife didn't even want to go to the church to begin with. They had a happy pastorate where they were, in London. Now we got to go to the big Toronto. Biggest church in all of Canada. And then you stay for 12 years and half the people want to get rid of you. Try it, you'll like it. No, you won't like it. If you're the right kind of man, you won't like people not loving you. Isn't that strange that people can love you for a couple years, but then they can't stand you after that? Especially if you preach on their pet sin. Huh? Doesn't it seem like it's always these people that just will not even have a consideration about the ugly monster that sits in their living room? See, they can put up with you just so long, Brother Newbern, and then they say, I'll have my TV and Preacher Harvey can jump in the river. But I'm not going in the river. I've already been to the river. I'm going to glory. Amen? See, people can take that so long, and then they get sick of it. But they ought not to. They ought to want to do right, even if they're not able to do right. Amen? They ought to want to quit their cigarette sucking, even if they can't have power to do it. They ought to want to quit their alcohol, even if they don't think they have the power to quit it. Whenever they lose that desire to do what's right, I'll tell you what, they're on their way down. That goes for you too, Preacher Harvey. And everyone else. Never gets easy, does it? To do what's right. It says, what? Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Really, we're going to finish with a great treasure if we'll be true to Him. And we'll finish with a greater treasure than those that didn't and were not true. I'll be true, Pastor Hammond. Picks that, I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. I'll tell you what, if you're in a family, if you are not the head of the home, and you're not encouraging, at least out of your own money and everything else, and encouraging your children and encouraging your husband to tithe, something's wrong with you. Now, you might never even ever get to the point where you can do much for missions, but you need to be working at all, both of those. Amen. People misuse money just so long, and then after a while, they just want to... I'm telling you, there's a great irreverence today for God. I sense some of that right in my own family. Talk too glibly about the things of God. Too lightly about the things of God. God is holy. We won't talk glibly when we stand before Him one day. We'll stand in awe, even though we're saved by His grace. I think we're going to be very surprised. I've been saying for years and years and years and years, everybody thinks that the judgment seat of Christ can be some picnic. No, we're going to be shocked at how insincere we were, how weak we were. Everyone else thought we were so strong, but then God knows, doesn't He? God really knows. Proverbs 12:24. Look there for a moment. By the way, then the last one is zeal. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So we need to not be slothful, but we need to be up and about the master's business. Then turn with me to Numbers. I want to show you, we've been going through so many that were zealous. Did we already cover the one fella? Oh, what was his name? Well, I've got him down here. Can't even think of it now. Jehu. We already covered Jehu, didn't we? I thought we did the other night, right? Okay. But I want to go on with this one more. And some of you have heard this before, however, not at this time. And therefore, go to Numbers 1:7. Maybe some of you have not heard of this one. His name is Nashon, or Nashon. And I want you to know, this fellow was zealous. And if we're going to be like Nashon, we'll be like Jesus. For the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up. We need to get eat up with a zeal for the house of God. If we were eat up with a zeal for the house of God and for the church at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Killeen, Texas, we'd never think of leaving. We'd want to know how we could do more. And we would beg people to not make us leave. Amen? Come on now. Hey, the only reason to leave a church is bad doctrine. I'm talking about major ones like the blood and salvation. Major doctrine. How you get saved, how you get born again. Amen. Major doctrine. Or morals. If there's sin in the camp and it's sanctioned, whether it be in the pastor or it be in the people or be in the leadership of the church, I believe that'd be a reason to leave. Amen? Otherwise, you ought to get out and pray more. Pray for those in leadership. It's never easy to do right, friends. Never easy to tell people their sins. That's my job. I said, when people are not right with God for 8, 9, 10 months, no wonder they finally get upset. They're not right with God for a long time, and you as a member don't see it, but I do. Because I'm the pastor, and if I don't, I need to wake up. I'm to be on watch. Amen? Whoever's ministry you were under as you prayed today, that he should have known that your heart wasn't in that right at that time. Amen? As our brother prayed. I'm not saying we don't miss anything, but I'll tell you, the pastor normally doesn't miss much if he's God-called. Mm-hmm. And isn't it strange? I don't miss people in the church service if they're working. If they're working that time, I don't. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't love them and they're gone and I don't miss them. That I'm just saying, you know, the Lord doesn't identify that they should be here and they're not here, because they can't be here because they're doing their job. Isn't that something? Are you with me? It's the same as this. Look, if a man's married to a woman and the man dies and she goes out and marries a widower, then they're both the widow and the widower, and they get married. Isn't it something that there's no problem? Isn't that something? You know, there may have little differences, but I mean, anybody has differences when you get married the first time. It's kind of rough for about a year, huh? Getting used to him or her, right? Come on now. So that would be the same, possibly, in, you know, a widow and a widower who would get married to each other. You follow? But, oh, you marry a divorcee. Oh, take those. I don't even want to live in that house. Huh? Come on now. Huh? Yeah. I can't stand those curtains. Well, why can't you stand those curtains? They're by your first wife, and she's living across town. Are you with me now? Come on. Huh? Isn't it strange that there's not the problems? Are you with me now? Come on. Yeah, just smile at me. This is just facts. And so, you know, it just makes a difference. Just makes a difference about some of these things. And we need to just be wise. Wise. As serpents and harmless as doves. Nathan was zealous for his God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1 of Numbers. Of Judah, Nathan, the son of Amminadab. Amminadab. And you'll have people. You know what that brother was accused of when the 300 and some people left his church? And when he left the convention group there? That he liked to fight. And all he was a fighter, T.T. Shields. He said he didn't like to fight. How did he do so well for 12 years and didn't fight anybody? People were behaving. Huh? And the group they were in was behaving. They didn't write such terrible letters about inspiration in the Bible. Paper and send it to all the people. He said, it's time to stand! And they said he was contentious. Because he wrote a letter to everybody and says, this article stinks. He said, it's against the word of God. It's awful. It's wicked. He said, oh, you're calling your brother wicked. That's what they said. They said, you're calling your brother wicked. Well, he's acting wickedly. You better believe the old book. He pointed out one of the professors in the university. I did that a couple weeks ago, didn't I? And he's still wrong. He'll always be wrong. And I talked to his assistant. He says he gives his children two Bibles to read, an 8-year-old. Here's the good news for modern monkeys. No, it's the newest American Standard Version. And then he gives them a King James. What do you think of this, Ricky? He has 4 children, 8 years old and under. This is what he told me the other day on the phone. He gives his 8-year-old child, boy, a King James Bible here and a New American Standard Bible here, and he lets him decide which one's the best. What do you think of that? And he's a graduate of the university. I think he needs to go back to elementary school. He doesn't know one thing about children, and he doesn't know one thing about the will of God for his children in regard to what Bible to use. And he's not going to preach for me. He needs to grow up and get some maturity in his being. You don't do that with an 8-year-old child. You make decisions for your child when he's 8 years old. People say, well, you're unloving. I've heard that before. I'll hear that again if I live long enough. He's intolerant. Isn't that what they said about us with the witches, the Wiccans? We were intolerant because I wouldn't go down there and have a dialogue with a bunch of witches. I don't have anything to say to them. If we were back in the Bible days, all I'd do is I'd be getting my stones ready. Amen. I'd be getting my rocks ready. And once they accused her and she was guilty, I'd want to throw mine as hard as I could. Give them time to repent and then move them out. Because they're going to pervert and pollute other people. Oh, they really are about it. We had that. I haven't seen much witchcraft around here lately. I'm kind of glad the Lord, you know, I haven't come up with a lot of it. Like, oh, it was terrible during the witchcraft time. It was bad. It's a lot nicer now. Now you got the Muslims to put up with. Boy, did I see them up in Buffalo. Oh, I already told my wife, if a whole bunch of them get on our airplane, I'm getting off. Because you go up and talk to the average person and say that if a man's of a Muslim religion, he's got that skin and the color and so forth, and he looks like that religion. They ought to check him over 10 times instead of me. Here, my bum shoulder, and here I am, the magic wand going all over the place. Get him! He's the Muslim! You say that to them, oh, you're intolerant. Yes, I am. I'm intolerant. I hurt my shoulder. The guy said, well, why move your arm? I said, I hurt my shoulder. Did I just tell you that? I was nice to the guy. I think I gave him a gospel track. If I didn't, I should have. He said, I told you my arm doesn't raise up as good. Man, he even took me. I'm glad I wear these kind of shoes. I'd have had time untying my shoes for that guy. Because some idiot gets on an airplane, tries to destroy the airplane with his bombs on his shoes. And he was a Muslim too. They all had Muslim names. And they were all males. Come on, wake up. Well, you say you're a male. I know. But I've heard of women. They were doing that with women though. Leave my wife alone, amen. No, they left her alone. I shouldn't have gone through that thing. Had something in my pocket. The next time when I went back, I took my jacket off. Didn't want to bother with all that. Boy, I tell you, we're in a kooky age, aren't we? Bunch of kooks. Hey, man, just take that crowd. Oh, you're unloving. Well, if you want witches next door, living across from you, and next door and everywhere else, instead of doing what the Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. I'll agree with God every time. And he believes the same thing. And by the way, it's in the Bible. They should stone these perverts too. We shouldn't have to be even talking about these perverts. They all ought to be under stone piles. We wouldn't have to talk about them. All these adulterers and adulteresses. That's the sin of America. It's just overridden with adulterers and adulteresses. And now perverts. Oh. My stepfather, Ray, who was a widower, so it was okay for him to marry my mother. But, boy, he said he couldn't stand those people. He said, can you believe it, Jack? He said, men with men. He said, kill them all. He was far from a Christian. You know what I mean? He didn't go to church at all, hardly. That's what he thought about homosexuality. That's what God thinks about it, too. Amen. God despises it. It's unnatural. Now we're coming against, I preached at my old church last Sunday night. Man, they've got a great crowd there. But their pastor hadn't got any formal training at all. Almost all those pastors in Buffalo. In the Buffalo area, they're native boys, and they don't have any training, formal training, but they have neology. They've learned how to pray. He got saved a little later in life. He tried to go to Bible college 2 or 3 or 4 times, and he finally told the pastor, he said, Pastor, the Lord does not want me to go to Bible school. So why in the world should I keep forcing the door open? And before long, there was a problem with the pastor. He had a problem with the organist. Finally married her. and he's forever discouraged, discouraged, discouraged. But the dear charismatic brother, David Castantino, who's now the pastor, he said, I knew something was wrong, and I called Wally Beebe up about it. And we know what Wally Beebe said. He said, brother, if there's something wrong, it'll come out. Just hang in there. It'll come out. And it came out. It came out. And lo and behold, they called him to be the pastor. He said the first 3 years was terrible. Anybody would follow a ministry there where the pastor messes up with the organist, I think there'll be a problem. We did that at that same church when we took it. The pastor before us did the same thing, and they just loved that pastor. I was always preaching, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize. I mean, I preached on different things, but it all ended up the same thing. Let's forget what's behind. Let's start getting going. They couldn't get going. It takes people time to get over when their leaders do really bad things. It's terrible. And so, thank the Lord, the son of that pastor who had that problem, he's in the church now. But he didn't even know if he should come to the church. Isn't that terrible that the children have to put up with the sins of their father? And the pastor says, oh, we've got so many new people now. Just come ahead. Most of them don't even remember all that. And he's coming to the church and married now and doing fine. But isn't that terrible? And the man who ran off with the organist, you know what? Oh, he said, he's in a terrible state. He said, pray for him. You know what one of the men of the church said? Just one of the men of the church. He was there at that time. He said, success ruined him. I think success ruined him. And he said it with a broken heart. Some men can't take success. They just can't take it. And what happens? Then they do something stupid. Leave their beautiful wife. He had a beautiful wife too. Foolishness. We don't need any of that junk in the church house. Amen? It'll ruin the place. It'll cause your testimony all over town. But they're out there soul winning now. You'll live it down after a while. Isn't it good that the Jarvis Street Baptist Church all those years, though, that one in Canada, they didn't have that problem. Years ago, there were churches, and they went on for pastor after pastor after pastor and never had problems like that. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. Mm-hmm. That same pastor that I recommended to the church, he made fun of this pastor. Said, oh, you probably got 25 people over there in Lancaster, and that's about what we had. He had 300 or 400, but then he lost his wife. Who cares? Who cares if he had 2,000 or 3,000? He lost his wife. He lost his family. His heart's broken all the time now. He can never preach. Do you rejoice? No. I wish I'd have known where he lived. I'd go over and have a word of prayer with him. Put my arm around him and weep with him and tell him we'll pray for him. Some sins you can do and you can get them straightened out. And others you can't straighten it out at all. There's no straightening it out. So you got to stay straight from the beginning. Well, I want you to know this man called Nashon was a great man. Look at chapter 2, verse number 3. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And then later it tells that he gives the first gift. He gives the first of the offerings because he's the first tribe. He's the captain of the tribe of Judah. And they were the ones who went into the Red Sea first. And I told the people, and I preached it here before, but Nashon, whatever his name is called. And there was a man who preached this. I'm trying to think of his name over there in the Atlantic Baptist Bible College. He preached this at the other Tabernacle Baptist Church a few years back. He said he called a couple Jews up, rabbis up, and asked them about this man called Nashon. And he said, oh yes, he was the one put his foot in the Red Sea first. I want you to know Nashon, whatever his name was, he was the first in everything. He had zeal, friends. Now, that's extra biblical, but it sounds good to me. He was first in everything else. By the way, God puts him in both lineages in Luke and Matthew. Nashon. And his father was Amminadab, and his sister was Elisheba, and she was the wife of the high priest, Aaron. And I'm telling you, Aaron had to have a virgin. The high priest had to have a clean virgin to typify the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a sanctified church. Amen? So Amminadab, he raised up some pretty good ones, didn't he? I think it's important how you raise your children. Elisheba, and she was presented to Aaron the high priest, and at least four boys, probably girls too. She had Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Elisheba, the sister of Nashon. I'd be kind of proud of my sister, wouldn't you, if you were Nashon? And if I was Elisheba, I'd be pretty proud of my brother Nashon. By the way, after I came here, I called over the fort and I called the rabbi, and the rabbi said, "You're saying the word wrong," but that was Nashon, whatever it was. But he was the one who put his foot in the Red Sea first, according to Jewish history. Well, glory be. I know one thing, Nashon had some zeal for the Lord. Amen? He couldn't be a lazy person. You wouldn't put him over the tribe of Judah, over all those people. And he gave a worthy offering, the first to offer his offering to God. God puts him right in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, mentions him in both Gospels. That would have been enough if he had just put him in there then. There is a verse over there in Corinthians, and we have to close with this. If I can find it, it's really good. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 7. This is talking about repentance. And remember, they brought the man back who had done... By the way, Paul was very concerned. Paul was very concerned that this brother who had done this, have his father's wife, that he would be put away, but that he would, who had done wrong, that they would put him away, but then that he would be restored. Restored. Not thrown out the window forever, but restored. Look at chapter 7, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians. Did I say first? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 7, 11. "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." They were zealous to get that brother back and to as he repented. And they were repentant of what they had done in allowing it to begin with. So we ought to be zealous in our repenting even. Here's the reason. Chapter 9. Verse number 1 and 2. "For as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." This is still 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2. "For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Our zeal will provoke others to do the things that are right. May God help us. It says there in 7th chapter, what zeal? They ought to say about us, what zeal he has. What zeal she has for prayer. What zeal he has for prayer. What zeal he has for the Word of God, like T.T. Shields, the pastor of Jarvis Street Baptist Church, what zeal she has for the Word of God as the people tear down the Bible in front of the little lassies, that they'd stand up for the Bible. What zeal for Christ when they take His name in vain and sometimes so lightly say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, don't say it again then! It's not just because we're there in their presence. It's God hears this taking His name in vain. Lightness. Pastors and deacons and evangelists and missionaries and teachers are forbidden to be light about that type of thing or anything. We're to be serious. We're to be grave. And our wives are to be grave too, and not giddy and silly. Amen? It says, silly women laden with sins. I know you're closer to the children, ladies. Amen? And if you're not careful, you could get real silly and you could be talking too much too. Amen. Paul mentions them in the Bible, and he commends a bunch of these precious women too. Amen. But you got to be cautious that you're praying, using your tongue to pray for people. You're kind to people. You're sorry that people make the wrong move. You don't rejoice in it. You're to weep with them that do weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. But we cannot go sin with those that sin. And I'm not going to stay discouraged because I've got heaven as my home. I'm on the victory side. I'll weep with them, and the next 5-10 minutes, I'll be shouting the victory on the other side. Because I just can't stay down all my life. I've got too much in Christ. I've been laying up treasures so long, man alive, I ought not to get too discouraged at all. The only thing is that we become a castaway because we'd allow sin and discouragement and defeat to ruin us. I didn't say it'd take our salvation away, but it shouldn't take your joy away. You try and tell me that pastor that followed me isn't saved? I don't know about that at all. He's probably saved. But he looked at that organist one time, and he looked at her twice, and he shouldn't have looked at her even twice. Amen? Pretty soon he's divorced his beautiful wife and their children, and his children suffer. He goes off with her, and by the way, she was a married woman too. They mess up two homes. You know what that's called? Adultery. You know what God says about it? Stone them! That's what God thinks about that wicked sin of adultery. God says it's awful. It ruins children. I'll tell you what, another sin is this fornications of the devil too. Flee fornication like Joseph did. You need to run from it. Whether it be a single girl or a married girl, you need to run from her. You girls are to run away from some nasty boy. Amen? He gets his paws on you. You hit him as hard as you can. Anywhere you want to hit him. Just hit him. Kick him as hard as you can kick him. If you really mess him up real bad, we'll help him in his wheelchair and we'll preach Jesus to him. After you mess him up. Amen? High heels or no high heels. You just... Make sure people keep their hands off of you. You be real cautious that they keep their eyes off you too, girls. If they got their eyes on you, then there might be something later on coming up. Men. They say about the men in the women in the prisons. A lady told me this. The women in the prisons. The women, they talk about doing things and you don't have to bother a bit about it. But when the men start talking about doing something, you watch out because they do it. Men are assertive. That's what she told me. So you better just make sure you should say, you better keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes off me, son. Amen? And if there's any married men around here, you can tell them for me too. You maybe save a family. So they won't mess up with you, young lady, but they'll mess up someone else. Amen? We really preach it around here, don't we, Ricky? And I'm not going to change a bit. And they can say, I'm intolerant and I'm unloving. No, no. If you love Jesus enough, you hate all evil. They that love the Lord hate evil. And I'll tell you what, they better leave my Bible alone. I'm about to go on the warpath for my Bible. I'm about to take anybody on I can. With my limited education. But my English Bible is so inspired.
Amen. Right.
Because if it's not inspired, then I don't have an inspired word.
Right. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, it's only inspired as it agrees with the originals. And we don't have the originals. That's what they tell me. That's what they tell me. Ah, very weak position. I'm not interested in it. My Bible is inspired. It's God breathed. All Scripture. That means in English too. Is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the other stuff is all a bunch of intellectual higher criticism hogwash. I do believe if a man has the abilities to learn all the languages, they ought to do like Dr. Dick Wilson. But they need not to spend any time criticizing the Word of God. What we do is we spend all our time criticizing our lack of knowledge of the Word of God and the God of the Word. Amen? Say, we are making a mountain out of a molehill. Well, you better pray for me because I'm going to keep making a mountain out of a molehill. This Bible is it, friends. And they start taking the Bible, and they've already done it. Every bookstore in the country, because men didn't cry loudly enough. Every bookstore, all these charismatics, whatever you call them, bunch of maniacs. Wild men. And evil men if they bring all these new versions in. If the devil cannot take the Bible out of the people's hands, he'll put the wrong Bible in their hands. Questionable version. Well, we need some zeal. And that zeal that Pastor Harvey has for the book, it'll get into your kids, and I'm glad it will. It won't be long, and Luke will be up there just saying, this is God's Word, and you better believe it. Amen? See, he's only 12 years old. I don't care. Spurgeon was 21, and he was very unusual. This T.T. Shields, he was the Spurgeon of Canada, but he admired Spurgeon. At 21, he had thousands from 21 all the way on. That's very unusual. But God does work in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Once every few hundred years, he might do that. Use a boy at 21 years old. But that's not the rule. That's the exception to the rule. Well, let's have prayer. Father, we love the Word. We love Thee. We pray that, dear God, we'd stand up for Thy Word. As Brother T.T. Shields, dear Lord, he didn't know if he was going to lose the church or not. And he stayed and stayed and stayed, and You blessed and blessed and blessed. And the floodgates opened up. Lord God, we may be right around the corner, but oh, they mounted up with more prayer. They were having prayer 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then they changed it to Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Dear Lord, prayer is the answer. Not our work ability, but our prayer ability. May we be able in prayer. And then, Lord, Thou wilt get all the glory for what's done if it's an answer to prayer. We won't get any glory for it. Dear Lord, I want to thank Thee for the good response of the church that we pastored and the great number of in that Sunday night congregation and their great soul-winning zeal as we went out on Saturday soul-winning with the pastor. Great zeal. May we do like Mary of old. May we say, whatever He saith unto you, do it. And may we do what we do immediately. May we do it completely. May we do it with all our might. May we do it with zeal. May we just obey explicitly with all our being. May the zeal of thine house, the zeal of thyself, eat us up as your zeal, dear Lord, ate you up in regard to the house of God. Oh, dear Lord, we need to stay close to the church of the living God. For this is the group that you meet with, Lord. We need thee. We need one another. We're so far from what we ought to be in and of ourselves. But in thee we can do great and mighty things. As the scripture says, we can do great exploits for God. Help us, we pray.